Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Hello and a pleasant good morning. Today is Tuesday, May 7th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today is Tuesday. That means we continue our series. That continues our series with, I'd already gone blank. Critical. Go ahead, yeah. Uncle.
Namaste. Yes, my name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Cahoon. Anku Sara, he's looking for the term critical theologist.
Yes, I went completely blank there. Yeah. You know when you notice stuff and say, hey, what are we talking about again? Yeah. But I appreciate that. And what I'll do instead is to have you formally introduce yourself again for those who have are just joining our series for critical theologists. We are introspecting and interrogating the Bible and these various religions. And no, not necessarily. We introspect and interrogate Christianity because Unku belongs to a church who said they are Christians.
Christians,
right? And I was trying to see how similar it is to my Christianity. Right, and how I worship, and I find that there are a lot of similarities and there are one or two differences, right? But then I see some things that just make sense. You say, man, that actually made sense. I always had questions about that, right? And hearing it made sense to me. Now, not everything I agree with Uncle Sarah, not everything I did with Reverend Cleveland Enius, right? But I allow him to try to convince me. And he says, no, he's not trying to convince me. He's giving the truth. And the truth will set me free. So that's where that is. But I want, again, to have him state, for the record, for today, his credentials, right? Where you're going to school, how you get a critical theologist, right? What is this Coptic Church of the Black Messiah all about? Just for those who haven't, is not familiar with the whole concept.
Sure. So, my schooling, after going to Kingsway, let's start there. I went to Kingsway in kindergarten, grade 10, after boarding school. I graduated from a school in Jacksonville called the Bowles School. I was a swimmer, great swimming school. I went to COB at the time for about a year. And then I went off to Tuskegee University, where I majored in biology. After,
so you got a degree in biology?
Yeah, I have a degree in biology, yes. Okay, my bachelor's in biology. I needed like two more classes for a minor in chemistry, but I was ready to come home. So,
okay.
After taking the MCATs and saying, I am going to study maxillofacial surgery, my head of department said, you know, you seem like you are very much into the arts world, so make sure before you dive into medical school that you are ready to do that.
So you were about to go to medical school.
Yeah, you know, but she said, Dr. Bedford, she said, you know, your scores are good for 3 years. Take your time. And within that period, a lot of things happened. You know, we started what ultimately became the Spot. Dot Catcher presents the Spot, which became the Spot 242, and poetry readings and, you know, we had a play called Our World, which is our very first play. So I wrote plays and performed for a while. And then all while I was doing this, I was very much interested in the Bible. I had learned about the Holy Coptic Church and the seminary.
What did you mean learn about the Holy Coptic Church?
So I knew about it from I knew about it from before I went to Tuskegee, right? But you know, you're just reading. I like how you interrogating me. I was interrogating people who are a part of the church, but it just years of interrogation, and when I learned that the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah incorporated religion and science, I say, wow, because that was my college career. I would get through my biology and chemistry homework, and my roommates, we would sit down and debate till the sun come up. So it was no formal theological sessions at that time. It was just, you got your books, I got my books, we reading the Bible, and we had fun. You know what I mean? So when the opportunity came to kind of formally study what people would know as theology, I said, you know, this is where my passion is, because I'm already doing it. And so long story short, that led me into the Holy Coptic Seminary, which...
Where is that located?
So at the time, because we're now moving into Liberia, but we were in Tampa, Florida. And so we did online and some travel back and forth. And we continue, you know. So it took me roughly 5 years before I became a pastor, 2009. Coincidentally, tomorrow is our anniversary, 14th year anniversary of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah here in Nassau, Bahamas, May 8th, 2010. And so we're going to be on the beach May 11th. We can be on Goodman's Bay for those who may want to pass out there. 11 to 4, we'll be on Goodman's Bay having a family fun day and celebrating life, you understand? But ultimately, my seminary degree allowed and still allows me to really look at the perspective of all religions and understand that these religions ultimately are coming out of an African precept whereby we were not savages waiting for people to come and save us. We already had great cities, high scientific and theological places of worship, and not just worship as in blind faith worship, but we incorporated our religion and our science in everything that we did. We call it the Copt.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have a degree. What type of degree do you have?
So this degree is in critical theology and global religious interfaith studies in the field of critical theology. So we have to look at everyone who borrowed, as I like to say, borrowed from us. And we take in Africa back out of it. You understand? We make sure that our job as the Holy Coptic Church is to bring forth a message for those who identify with being of the three groups of 12 royal tribes of Ishmael, Israel, and Midian. Let me just be clear about what that means. These are symbolic families insofar as if you are... Would you call yourself a genealogist?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're a genealogist. And I'm sure if you ask many people, can they name their grandmother's grandmother? Many people can't, right? Or grandfather's grandfather, right? There's been a deliberate attempt, successful attempt, at cutting us off from our lineage. So what we understand is that we cannot rely solely on the personal lineages of our brothers and sisters throughout the African diaspora. So we have to go back to a point that we can all relate to. We have to go back to the Nile Valley civilization. We have to go back to Sumeria. We have to go back to the areas of the Niger Delta region. We have to go back to the areas of the Mississippi Delta, the Amazon Delta, the Indus River Valley, places where we can actually find records and begin to, reverse engineer, right?
Extract.
Yeah, understand that you did come from somewhere, now you have the technology where you could send in some saliva and begin to map out your origins,
mm-hmm.
right? So before, mm-hmm. so ultimately to answer your question though, we understand that this people, this remnant of a people who had a way of life and now have it again, that ultimately allowed for us to control our destiny in 9 levels of people activity: religion, economics, labor, sex, gender, education, law, war, security, entertainment, and politics. These 9 levels of people activity, we were able to control our destiny, or understand that each one of these areas of people activity allows for us to not have to succumb to what we see happening in the world today. So our job ultimately is to bring forth a message that has been written in stone, it has been written in skin, it has been written on papyrus for many thousands of years, and we're guided by our Coptic Pope, Barsesh Haruhotep Ta, Rev. Dr. A.J. Varma, who has been assisting those of us who want to embrace it with putting all this information in a sequence and allowing for us to once again embrace the actual rituals that link us with the celestial heavens. By celestial heavens, I don't just mean further and further star, I mean within. As the book of Luke chapter 17, verse 21 says, the kingdom of heaven is within. So that's in a nutshell.
And yes. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask this question, mm-hmm. similar to Christianity, is there worship? Is there salvation? Because I always ask, and if you don't get salvation inside your religion, how do I embrace it? Is there salvation, a savior type concept?
Right. The salvation that we seek is wrapped up in hard work. The salvation that we seek is in being able to do for yourself. The salvation that we seek is in having self-confidence that allows for you to actually, as a great doctor, Dr. Marimba Ani, she wrote a book called Urugu. One time she was at COB at the time, they called her a witch, right? Because she did libation. But very brilliant scholar and elder, still with us today, we're grateful to have her. But she studies and continues to probe our people, whereby we understand, hey, you could have your own thoughts, you know. You can have your own theories and policies based on your records. You don't have to always seek an endorsement from your oppressors in order to move in the directions that you want. We're not saying break the law, but we understand this country has religious freedom. And so we have a responsibility to look at these religions that were forced on us and look at them in the languages that they gave it to us in, and probe so that we understand that these came out of languages even older than the Hebrew and the Greek and the Latin, so that we can understand that, no, you had a Bible. You had an original books of the Bible. You had a way of life. You did have salvation. In fact, the book of Revelation originally is called the Book of Salvation by Istanjil. But in that book, the salvation that we're seeking is based on us following these commandments. These commandments are not just man-made commandments. These commandments are the commandments that align with universal law. Universal law is that which allows the very earth, the very sun, the stars, the moon, the planets, to stay in their courses, and allows a level of predictability. You can have that in your life as well.
Let me interject.
Yes, sir.
Does this religion have a master architect, if I adopt these large people, right? A person who created the universe, mm-hmm. created us, a savior, a god.
Right.
That's all that. Does God exist?
Right.
Within,
most definitely God exists. However, we understand that even the concept of God has been colonized. And so when you say the word God, you go back to a German word, Gott. And we understood that the Most High Heavenly One represented all forces, all chemicals, all vitamins, all minerals, all compounds working together at one. So if you look at this periodic table and you understand how these elements are in a periodic order, seven different periods, you understand that there's an order from the very cupped or central point of the atom, whereby you have neutrons and protons at the center, and on the outside you have these electrons. There's a force within each atom that allows for them to behave the way that they behave, whereby they have a nature. So nature has a nature, the nature of nature. And the Most High Heavenly One, Enere, this I Am, that's referenced in Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, is indeed that force that is referred to as the invisible that is made visible. You understand? And so, yes, within the African way of life, this theology, this true religious identity, we have a reality whereby there are those who have lived in a way of life, and we look at their example. So we look at this Asaru, or who the Greeks call Osiris. And he's seen in Revelation chapter 11, verse 8 and 13 and 8 as this Messiah who was slain from the beginning or the foundation of the earth. He's also seen in the book of Numbers chapter 6 with this Nazarite vow. And we can go on. But there's an African perspective ultimately.
I see I have a caller here already, sure. Even though I haven't started my show yet. Mm-hmm. But I see you brought us gifts for us to read or at least be aware of. But yeah. Let me engage the caller first and then explain to me what exactly you brought Aaron mm-hmm. and I to see. Producer, patch the caller through for me, please. Go ahead, caller.
A pleasure, good morning, Mr. Dury. Can I ask the doctor a question, please?
Pastor's calling through again. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing? Good morning to you and your guests.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. Okay. I used to go to school with you back in the day, right?
Okay.
And you were always a above average student. But my concern is, right, at which point your views on religion has changed? Because as I could recall, that your viewpoint on Christianity was very far from what you're showing now. Is it the fact that you went off to school and experienced different religion and cultures and all that and made your viewpoints about Christianity change?
That's a great question. So,
thanks, Cole.
I'm not sure exactly. I can catch the voice, so forgive me. But that's probably something I ran the Kingsway with. When I was here in school, I was searching then as I was even when I went off to school. But my grandfather wrote a book called Bain Town, which actually I have copies coming in at the end of the month for those who may want a copy of Bain Town. And in that book, he talks about this reality of the varying bloodlines or lineages that course through our veins, right? We are a manifestation of our ancestors. That began to assist me with understanding more about who I was. You know, I learned that I'm a part of a tribe called the Yoruba tribe out of Nigeria, all right, on my father's side. I learned a lot of things with regard to me being an African and understanding that without that aspect of who I was, I couldn't be complete. And so what often happens is you learn that information and then you're trying to reconcile that information with Christianity as you learn it from a Greco-Roman perspective, because it doesn't seem to fit in, right? This idea that I have a culture and I have an African way of life on one hand, and then on the other hand, I have this salvation, as it was taught to me, that's telling me that's pagan. You know, that's something that I really should put down and forget about. And so I couldn't do that. I had to find a way to reconcile that, and I did that, as I continue to do, by studying the scriptures from an African perspective. And so I haven't changed my view as much as you may think, insofar as I still principally am who I was in high school. You know, I understand. I've I want you to treat me a certain way. I'm going to treat you that way. You understand? I'm going to remain respectful. But I understand that we cannot continue in an information age to ignore the realities that are placed before us and that allow for us to reconcile some of these some of these conflicting ideas that we have in our head. And so this is, I pray I'm answering your question, but this is kind of where I was even before I went off to school. It wasn't that when I went off to school, it was before I went off to school.
You brought us today a King James version of the Bible, but this Bible thick. I mean, this is one big Bible. I'm not used to this King James Bible. What book do you bring today?
So my father, who passed in 2019, he bought this Bible, actually, when he saw my thirst for this African identity with religion. And so he showed me the Bible. I didn't really check for it initially, but this is the original African Heritage Study Bible, the King James Version, with special annotations relative to the African Edenic perspective, right? I brought it because when people hear the Holy Coptic Church and we have this these original books of the Bible, they think, some people may think that we are out on a limb all by ourselves, right? This Bible has nothing to do with the Holy Coptic Church, but within the Bible, they're giving you African, so this would be an interpretation of how Moses, they say, would look.
Right? Moses Blackburn.
Black man.
And that was printed before Putin opened up his...
That was printed way before that.
Treasure trove.
Yeah. You understand?
Who printed this book?
Yeah. So the general editor, if you want to look it up, his name is Kane Hope Felder. He's the general editor of it. It's the original African Heritage Study Bible. I have nothing to do with its printing. The Holy Coptic Church doesn't have anything to do with it. But it is, again, this journey of reconciling, you know, were there black people in the Bible? You know, this is the questions we used to ask. These pictures show, and I wish, you know, we had a camera so y'all could see
it. No, put it up at the...
Maybe
this one here.
Yeah, okay. Very good. Yeah.
If you're tuned in on the app or on the website, go to the video option, and you can see these images now.
Right. But it's still a King James Version. And then what they do is the commentators, you know, give commentary from an African perspective, right? So the Holy Coptic Church is not the only church on this journey of reclaiming an African identity and true religious perspective.
Mm-hmm. So we're about to start. Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a point. When you mentioned the Indus Valley, you mentioned Brazil, Mississippi, deltas, right? Mm-hmm. And the deltas. Is it fair to say that indigenous cultures mm-hmm. across the globe have had sort of their connection or access to their own history stripped from them?
Yeah, that's a fair and very accurate statement.
And that the fight that we see, and I use the word intentionally, fight, mm-hmm. to cling to this Roman Catholic telling of Christianity is also... Well, there are also people who identify as white mm-hmm. because they have no history to cling to either. So they fight for this version in the same way that Africans have had to carve out space to interpret, you know, and to represent their own version. That people who are stuck in whiteness because they have no link to their indigenous history, their lineage through their genealogy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think that acknowledging that discounts from the current conversation about race dynamics.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, I mean, it's a great point you've made. We as a people all over the planet had a relationship with nature. Mm-hmm. So we didn't even have one book that everybody read. We just understood that everybody who had a book had a relation to nature whereby we could all get along. We could all respect each other. We didn't travel the globe trying to convert other tribes to our way of thinking. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we would learn how they did things because your life could depend on it. You mm-hmm. understand? If you come from the mountains and you go down to the coast, well, they got some different rules down there. Mm-hmm. You understand? If you can't swim, you should probably not go over here.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Or don't go in this part of the water, right? And obviously that is a very sanitized version or way of what actually happened. You have mm-hmm. this global system of racism, white supremacy, of racism, pale Arab supremacy, of racism, Oriental supremacy, of racism, Aryan supremacy. Each group of people have their version of scripture, have their image as that which they look to for divinity, which we agree with. We're mm-hmm. just saying we have that also as Africans. And matter of fact, they met us with it. You understand? As you go into our land and see the huge statues and the paintings, etc. Go ahead, my brother.
Okay, I see we have a quality here who wants to engage. And mm-hmm. so, and producer, get ready to cue up my thing, okay? Go ahead, call him.
Good morning to everyone in the studio, especially your wonderful guest today.
Good morning.
Ananku, Albinius, whatever name you like to mm-hmm.
yeah, all of that. Yeah.
You know, I find it interesting, and I only wanted to call and take an opportunity to tell you that the boldness in which honesty has to be defended in the face of so much hypocrisy from the standpoint which that even if something is true, but because it is nouveau to the hearing of many people,
mm-hmm.
it would then make the presenter of truth to seem like the false person.
Mm-hmm.
And I always find it very, very interesting that, especially when it comes to religion, you mention again the King James. King James, just for historical context, because you are more versed in this than I, about which time the King James commissioned a Bible? Just for historical.
Well, this but he didn't commission point. The Bible, though. So let me stop there. The Bible existed before King James, and he decided to
put it into English.
Put it into English.
But let's just say, whenever they decided to produce the King James version of the Bible, mm-hmm. which in this period of time, just snapshot.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was 15, something.
1611.
15, right. The 15th century. Brother Andrew, yeah.
mm-hmm.
the Ethiopian Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Predates that Bible. How many?
Yeah, many hundreds of years.
Many hundreds of years mm-hmm. before. Mm-hmm. Now, what I always find interesting about our understanding of knowledge, we now, in the Western world, not Bahamas, just in the Western world, we rely on a text that comes after a text and several texts that is before the text. That we think is the absolute divinity.
Mm-hmm.
But we, and I say Western people, mm-hmm. not just the Haymans or Africans, Western people discredit to this day the text, the series of texts, which predates the text that came after. So I just wanted to make that point that knowledge is a progression.
Mm-hmm.
And when the gentleman called and asked you, but when did you change? It doesn't matter when did you change. If my son or daughter thought the sky was green, and then they went to history class and then a science class, and they realized the sky is another color made up of particles through light and whatnot, mm-hmm. and they got knowledge, it doesn't matter what reference point they started. So mm-hmm. I want to encourage you
to continue
in your quest for explaining the knowledge you now have, offering the truth to many.
Mm-hmm.
And please know, sir, that not everyone will accept it. And I'm glad you recognize that for those mm-hmm. who want to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
But you be encouraged and continue to educate, good sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that call.
Good. I might be duty bound to explain the Ethiopian Bible. The Bible just means collection of books.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been a collection of books before the Ethiopian Bible also.
Yeah.
Right?
I just want
that there are similar books in the Ethiopian Bible that belongs to the Catholic Bible, the King James Version, and they have other 10 or 20 other sects. Also, there's the Orthodox Bible, all ancient also, and as old as the Ethiopian Bible or pieces belonging to different places. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Aaron.
No, I just wanted to say it seems like a PhD in critical theology is the highest degree in Rouen. Like, it's as high as you could get, right? But no, I don't call it Rouen. Yeah. It's reasonable interrogation, mm-hmm. right? And Rastas call it reasoning
yes.
and attempting to overstand,
yes.
right?
The yes.
critical theory interrogation is yep. a beautiful thing.
And it's a necessary thing, you know.
Okay, let me squeeze this next caller in, and right. hopefully I get to start today.
Yeah,
go ahead, Cobb. No, I'm enjoying it.
You had other questions to ask?
I have a whole show. I didn't start the show yet. This was important. I needed to get this out. Mm. But go ahead, caller.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Nuri. Good morning, Miss Green. And good morning to my brother, Uncle.
Good morning.
Good morning, my brother. How are you?
All right, I'm doing well, brother. The gentleman who just called, he was talking about something that's very serious and very important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I was thinking about something like that the other day. I was saying that we need the educators in this country. We need the professors and individuals who know history to speak up and start to say what is the truth and what is not the truth. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Because we can't have those same individuals who know better.
Not doing
better. Go into the church and knowing that the history that they know to be real contradicts what the Bible is teaching about, you know, the earth only being 2,000 years old, 6,000 years old, et cetera, like that, and stuff like that. They mm-hmm. know these things to be false.
Yeah.
You know, so we need individuals, we need professors, we need the intellectuals, we need people who know what is what to begin to speak reality, because, the fact that we have this false interpretation, like the gentleman was saying, the Western interpretation of faith is a shame, and that needs to go, because the truth exists, and we could discredit that, right?
Correct.
But Mr. Nuri was asking you about the salvation and different things. One time ago, I think I heard you talk about a character who was a sabah or savant, something like that. I can't remember exactly.
A polymath.
But you were saying that the character of the individual was not something that was ideal. That the lifestyle might not be one was ideal, but the individual was still came to, like, more or less educate or teach or something like that. I mean, I can't remember exactly what it was, but I'm certain that the word was the S word, right?
And self-sacrificing and selfless, yeah.
No, but it was a word. No, yeah. You said a savant or a sabah or something.
Basesh. You mean that word, basesh?
It was a word, but you said that the archetype, that the character was not one that was an ideal.
Okay.
Lifestyle, but it was one that came to anyhow. But I guess you can't really remember. But what yeah. you can do for me, if you can, seeing that CA was talking about salvation in last mm-hmm. days and stuff like that. In Genesis 49, they talk about when Jacob sat his 12 sons down to explain to them what will happen in the last days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the two of them stood out more. It was Judah and Joseph, mm-hmm. and he explained what would befall them and like how they would turn out, and you know what I mean, like what was to be expected of those two individuals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if possible, if you could probably try and break it down for us so we could explain, seeing that they was talking about the last days, you know what I mean, and seeing that the Judah part is something that we could kind of like see in our time already. So I mean, like the Joseph character is something that I would like to know more about, so we could probably be able to identify that character, like how Leonard Howell was mm-hmm. able to identify his imperial majesty because of what they knew beforehand, you know what I mean,
right.
from reading the book, you know.
Right.
I'd appreciate that. So, but thank you very much, and good day, CA, and good day, Miss Green, and my brother. Hope you have a nice day too, eh?
Yeah.
Blessings.
I can't talk a lot.
I can write it down.
Yeah.
I can write it down.
That's a great question, though.
And a quick note from the text from 52.
Mm.
He shows me a copy of The Black Biblical Heritage by John L. Johnson.
Yeah.
4,000 Years of Black Biblical History, and it looked like he have that book in his hand right now.
Right. Yeah, 52 got a really awesome library.
Okay, producer, let's see if I can start my show. Play that clip for me, please. Getting ready to play the clip. We can see if we get the last 15 minutes and we can continue it for the next week.
You've got plenty text to read, too.
We can read the text right now after the clip. Play. Go ahead.
Never. Your husband is not your friend. He's your owner. No, you did not hear me. You are owned by your husband. 3 verse number 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. The word Lord means master owner. You don't want to be owned, don't get married. You are not an equal to your husband. No, you are not even a friend or a partner. No, you are owned. This is why I said to you men, don't accept when your wife calls you babe. No, never.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I think we can end the show right there. Let's just go home.
my point
Hold on, you
is,
sure you could be safe?
My point is women in the church. Women in the church. Just recently, I saw a lady who was a pastor, and I was cool with that.
Yeah.
But her title is bishop. Right? And I want to know the role of women in the church. Can women take a leadership role in the church? Can a woman be a bishop? That long
and
short.
Why you look like you... I mean, it looked like you stopped the car as soon as you see that and call the police.
Yeah. I want to know why if a woman could be a bishop.
Yeah.
Right? And a man is a senior woman, right? And I want to know if you would order. And I want to know if the Coptic Church has any reference, biblical reference on the role of women. If they're supposed to make the sandwiches...
I mean, I wouldn't eat a sandwich after saying that. I just let them make it, but I don't know if you should eat it.
Or they're supposed to just support their man, but they can't be no reverend.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what the show's supposed to be. Look at me cover another day.
But I mean, can women preach to other women? Like, I mean, maybe in the red tent or
can
something.
Can they preach to man? Yeah.
So here's the thing. The Greco-Roman theology is a theology based on Greco-Roman culture. All right, the culture of the Greco-Romans, because a lot of these pastors today, they are relying on the teachings of Paul. You don't hear the Messiah saying these things. You don't hear, the African perspective of what we're talking about. It doesn't say that. In fact, if we go to the Book of Proverbs, chapter 1, all right, verse 8, this is just addressing the first part of that. Comment where women are supposed to be owned, right? And this is why we have this big debate about marital law, marital rape, and all these different things, because we're following the perspective of the Greeks and the Romans. And quite frankly, the Greeks and the Romans, they don't like women. You understand? Not the men, the elite men. The reason why they preach have one woman is because they have other men that they laying down with. That's their culture. You understand? Proverbs 1 and 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. In the African cultural identity, true religious identity, our women, our noble ladies, let's be clear, because stupid is everywhere. So I'm not saying every woman. Stupid is everywhere, and I'm not saying every man. Okay? Those who take the time to actually learn and become at one with this universal doctrine, right? These women were referred to as tribal leaders. You understand? The men were referred to and are referred to as tribal rulers. So this still happens after all of this you own your wife craziness they talk about. I wish people could raise their hand. I wish they could push a button and raise their hand. How many of you grew up hearing that when your daddy come home, I can tell him what you did, which is to say, you did not observe my law. Mm-hmm. So we enforce the law of the woman. In fact, Israel is referred to as a woman. The church is referred to as a woman. So this idea that women are owned, this goes back to Revelation chapter 12. We're going to get to Paul in a second, right? Revelation chapter 12, there's a war. The devil is cast out into the earth. The very last verse of Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, and the dragon was wroth. The dragon was angry with the woman, huh? And went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, or Yahshua Christ. So there's a very, very deliberate war against not just all women, but the women who are interested in holding on to the commandments of the Most High. Mm-hmm. I say that also because if we go to Genesis chapter 3, because again, we have a very Eurocentric approach when we talking out loud, but it don't happen at home. Unless you just interested in bucking your wife head because you believe you're in charge, right? Genesis 3 and 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This seed is not called the man's seed. This seed is called the woman's seed. So this is an African reality whereby our matriarchal societies were such that we understood, if we go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. That means she was the mother of men too. You understand? What we are not focusing on, though, is that when we go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, this idea that men are before women didn't exist yet. You understand? Genesis 1 and 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, they say. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them at the same time. He didn't make man first and then woman. This is the African theology.
I hear with all of that. My question is, can woman be a bishop in the church?
If you follow the Greco-Roman churches, sit down and be quiet. Sit down and be quiet. You out of order. Because you choose to follow a doctrine that told you to sit down and be quiet, and you didn't want to listen. So you out of order. Now, if you want to be a part of an African theology and learn how to become a noble lady, yeah, then you can speak in the church. But if you choose to be subject to that which tells you to be silent, then be silent.
But didn't Paul rebuke somebody and say, women need to sit down and be silent?
That's the point I'm making. If you want to follow Paul, if you want to follow, and why was Paul saying that? Paul says that in several places, right? But let's get to the crux of why Paul was saying what he was saying. He was talking to a particular kind of woman. I brought my other Bible, this the Hebrew Greek keyword study Bible, all right? It talks about at the very beginning of Corinthians. It says Corinth was a strategic center of influence for the gospel, since those travelers who heard the gospel there could carry it to all parts of the world. It was a metropolis. The city of Corinth, however, was one of the most wicked cities of ancient times. Immorality, unscrupulous business dealings, and pagan practices abounded. Of the scores of heathen religions that were practiced in the city, the most well-known was the worship of Aphrodite, the goddess of love and beauty. The temple of Aphrodite stood in the most prominent point in the city, a hill called Acro-Corinth, and housed 1,000 temple prostitutes.
Temple prostitutes.
Temple prostitutes. That's what he's saying to be quiet. He's telling these temple prostitutes, he's telling these immoral women, you don't need to be speaking. That's Paul. And the Messiah never said, go to Corinth anyway. He said, don't go to the Gentiles. So this is a Greco-Roman. We have inherited a Greco-Roman problem, and it's interfering with our homes. If we get back to Africa, if we get back to our true religious identity, where the women are understood as the law, Ma'at, the universal law, is personified as a woman.
Let me get this caller squeezing because I know they've been waiting long.
Sure.
Even though I want to continue this conversation, mm-hmm. I will continue this conversation mm-hmm. on another date to hash it out. Because mm-hmm. we have a number of pastors here, what I call Baptist pastors
mm-hmm.
or Pentecostals, who said a woman's job is to show support and they got to be led by the man. It's like how they do the house.
That's the Greco-Roman perspective. We in the African culture and way of life, we stand side by side by our women.
But who's the head of the household?
The Most High is the head of the household. And each of us has a role within. So when we have our marriage, we call it the binding of the two flesh. We both bind into the commandments and we each have our roles. You understand what I'm saying? But this idea that a man is going to treat a woman like a child, that wasn't about our way of life.
Pastor said, you can't rape a wife. Let me go to this.
I agree. You shouldn't rape your wife.
You shouldn't. I said, you can't. I said, you shouldn't. Producer... patch at college. You
maybe,
can't.
Maybe they miss out. You can't. I believe them. I just believe they miss. It was it get chip off the stone. You can't rape your wife mm-hmm. and go to heaven is what the scripture actually says. I don't know how you rape
your wife and go to sleep. Something going hard on.
Why are you all throwing shade today? Go yeah. ahead, producer.
Once we ain't throwing grits, eh?
Yeah. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Now, whenever I go to Rome, I definitely need to do like the Romans do. Thank you, Uncle.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Nuri, I'd like to address a question you asked about these books and this Bible and then which preceded the other and so forth. I want to give you a quick parable that's taken from a Bible that you probably have never read. All right? And in this Bible, the discussion was made by three beings. One the generator, one the operator, and one the destroyer. That's the God, right? The destroyer said, look, we're going to make man, but we can't put all this knowledge to one place because when the first man finds it, he's going to keep it and use it for destructive purposes. Well, the operator says, well, what we could do, we could put it in a cave. Chances are the person who comes into this cave would be a decent person and want to share it. But then the argument went on, no, that's not a good idea. So God, the generator, says, let's put it far in space. So the first one who gets up there would get the knowledge and share it with the rest. That wasn't a good idea. But you know where they decided to put all this knowledge? Within each man. So that preceded all your books, Nuri.
Hmm. All right? I appreciate that. Let me squeeze in this next caller, Uncle. Producer, Pastor's caller too. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning. I have 4 minutes.
Good morning, Darren and Uncle. You know, I really appreciate you doing this, right, Mr. Nuri. And so as it relates to the last caller, you know, knowledge is really those who want to seek it, and sometimes it goes beyond books, like you say, because you can actually use geographical facts and facts that you see and give credence to what you've read. So people who say brainwashed, they have to understand everybody thinks differently. So as it relates to Uncle said something just now, and so I agree with him because I know and because of history. And so what happens is they have painted the picture of woman being the originator of sin, okay? So when you read the Jewish Kabbalah and other versions, then you will find that out. And so they have demonized the lady, the woman. So we would relate this back to, there was one point in time in history when Catholic priests were allowed to marry women. And there was actually a priest, a pope who had actually, I think, killed one of his daughter husbands within the Vatican walls. So, you know, they're not going to be given the truth. And so, in all Anko is saying, I can juxtapose the fact that in the archives of the papacy, they have many hidden antiquities in books that they haven't released to the public. And as it relates to King James, King James doesn't have any versions. He simply printed the Bible and made it accessible for more people. He has no version. And the question for Uncle Fu, I hang up. So we know that the Bible is originally written in Hebrew and Aramaic. And so we know that geese was spoken by Eritreans and Ethiopians. Basically, Ethiopians. Eritrea these land are one. That's like Ukraine and Russia. Egypt, all of this was entailed. So is geese a cognate language of Hebrew and Aramaic, Anku? Because that could bring a lot of clarity for people who know what it is. No, that's about listen, Anku.
It's one of the Bantu cluster of languages, right? The Bible was originally written in what they call hieroglyphs, the sacred writings. And then it became what you know as Hebrew and Greek and Latin, etc. We have many hundreds of thousands of manuscripts coming out of Mali, more than, you know, they can count. These records ultimately assisted us with our everyday way of life, and they were our Bibles. They were our books that assisted us with reaching that knowledge that the caller talked about that's within. The kingdom of heaven is within, Luke 17:21. So all of the ancestral wisdom that we have is able to be accessed once you live like your ancestors. If you live like your oppressors, you will never access the ancestral wisdom within. It's as simple as that. So the idea, again, that you know, we needed a book was because we are rebellious people. Isaiah 30:8 says, now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. We want to keep moving this story to stay still. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not, etc. So this is why we need a book, to get us back on track.
And I'm going to bring you back so we can talk about this specific topic again, because I know I wanted to hash out the origins of your journey. Mm-hmm. I think that needs to be on record. Mm-hmm. But you also have an event or participate in an event coming soon. Let's quickly do that.
Yeah, we have an event. The Holy Coptic Church has an event May 18th that is referred to as Revamp. All right. And this is a very important time of the year for us, being mental health month. So each year we do Revamp. It's, you can go to journeyhomegroup.com. It's free. We'll be providing you information as to where the event will take place. We're still working on that. But it's Eurocentric thinking destroying the Black psyche. That is our theme. May 18th, go to journeyhomegroup.com. You can register for free. We look forward to seeing you.
Yes. So I'll make room now to continue to talk about women's role in the church. Of course, I'll have Aaron Green there.
So I can sit in the corner. No, I understand.
Women need to understand their role.
Yes, right? Tomorrow you can let me talk as we list the questions that people need to ask Pintard and Minnis at the convention.
Yes.
I can talk on...
You can talk
with at the convention, but about it. Okay,
This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri, of course. I want to thank Anku Sara for joining us. Of course, I want to thank Aaron Green, Stephen Ennis III, who's a Cahoon of the Coptic Church of the Black Messiah, which has been... They celebrating the anniversary, when? How long?
14 years.
So you don't believe in 10, the Bible 10 then?
we gotta go. Have a good day.